As you can see there, we're again looking at the born again life. Most of you know, I guess, you've heard before, that it takes a new birth. Pardon me, it takes a new birth to get in the kingdom of God. But once, like a child, once a child is born, they begin to grow. That's the plan anyway, right? They begin to grow. So we're going to look at that, and we've looked at it some already. But again, today we're looking into this idea. I put on the first slide there, Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again." Now that came from Jesus, so he knows what he's talking about, right? He knows what he's talking about, that you cannot be a part of the kingdom of God now or in the future. You cannot be a part of the kingdom of God unless you've had that experience. Now, that experience is a little different for most people. You know, we don't all kind of come in the same way. Some people, it hits them immediately. Some people, they kind of grow in it. But the born-again experience is something that the Holy Spirit does in you, that the Lord does in you when you first believe and you start down that path. And you receive a new life. Now, Jesus is saying that's essential. It's not just maybe, you know, might need that, might not. It's not some afterward blessing. It is essential that you are born again. The next slide says, once born again to eternal life, then we grow in that life. And that growth requires, next line, is something that requires hearing the truth. So, I've been praying that God, the Lord, would speak to us today. You know, wouldn't it be nice if we could have guest speakers come in, and we do that some, and what if Jesus was on the docket? He's going to speak next Sunday. Woo. A lot of people go the other direction. But I bet the building would be packed if people really believe Jesus, the Messiah, is going to show up at this building. We wouldn't have room for everybody, would we? Does he show up anyway? He shows up. If you don't know that and you don't understand that, and it's not a realization to you, then it's not his fault. And it's not the fault of the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit comes into us to live in us at our conversion, when we become Christian. The Spirit comes in to live in us, and he is the agent for the Father and the agent for the Son. And so Jesus can do whatever the Holy Spirit can do, in a sense that the Spirit is in you and Jesus can come in and visit, and he can come into this assembly right now and talk to us. Now, when he talks to us, it's probably going to sound like my voice, but it won't be my voice. I'm just the errand boy. I'm just the messenger. I didn't write the Bible. I didn't die for anybody's sins. I couldn't do that. I just tell you what he wants me to tell you to the best of my ability. Now, I know that at times I get in the way. I try to stay out of his way. But at times I get in the way. So forgive me of that and just listen to what he's got to say. That growth requires hearing the truth. I put a scripture up here from Ephesians 4, verse 15. Instead, Paul said, we will speak the truth in love. We'll speak to, you know, when somebody speaks the truth to you, it could potentially be offensive. You get offended. But if they do it with love, you don't get so offended, do you? There are people in your life that have spoken into your life, and as they have done that, they've done it in such a way that you appreciated it, not that you resisted it. Paul said we speak the truth in love. He's talking to the church at Ephesus there. So we will grow up in every way to become the body of Christ. Christ is the head of the body. So what's he saying? Speak truth in love, so we will become the body, grow up in every way to become the body of Christ. That's a New International Reader's Version, NIRV, which is a good one. It's very simple, easy to read, NIRV. What's Paul saying here? If we get the truth, what happens? We start growing. We start growing. Pruning isn't always easy, is it? When on the tree or the vine or whatever you're pruning, it's a little bit shocking, I imagine, to the tree, but it's for its benefit, right? Don't get scared. I'm not going to get harsh with you. I'm just going to tell you some truth that we need to know. Christ is the head, so it's his job to speak to us, isn't it? Isn't he the head of the church? Is he the head of the church? We just found that out, didn't we? Next slide. We're going to look at Jesus' truthful message to the churches in Revelation about their situation. We're going to be in Revelation, so if you can find that, that's easy to find, right? Last one. Last one in the Bible. Most people can find Genesis and Revelation. Revelation's the last one. We're going to look at this, his message to the churches in Revelation. Most of you, or many of you, I guess I would say, are of the age where you can at least remember some of this. But when I was growing up years and years ago, the Christian message was respected in America. And some of you my age, or maybe older, a little bit younger, would understand what I'm talking about. Now, if you didn't experience that, we're talking about a time when nobody locked their doors. I hear that all the time. Well, we never locked our doors growing up on the farm or wherever, you know. We grew up in a time where all kinds of things that are done today were shameful. We grew up in a time when look at some of the old movies. I'm talking about 1940s, 50s movies. When 60s, it started to change. But the old 1950s stuff, people say, oh, that's old stuff. Yeah, it was, and it wasn't the good old days. There were problems then, too. But America at least had some familiarity and a little bit of respect for the Christian message. There were towns, I grew up in one, where you just, you know, Sunday, don't try to buy anything, hardly. You just couldn't, everybody was closed. Why were they closed? Well, it was Sunday. They closed on Sunday. Why'd they close on Sunday? It wasn't the Sabbath like the Jews. It was just out of respect. Maybe if we close, more people will go to church. So it was respected. It was a time when, it was not a time, like I said, like the good old days. It wasn't perfect. But it was a time when everybody kind of had the idea, I go to church. They tell you where they went to church. I heard a woman, or saw a newspaper article several years ago, where a lady moved down here from somewhere up in the Northeast. And she said, somebody said, how do you like it down here? Well, I get a little irritated. People ask me, where do you go to church? And she said, I don't go to church. Well, back in the day, you know, that was, the reason I'm bringing all this up is to say, have things changed? Oh my goodness. Have they changed? And a lot of young people are realizing, this is not the world I wanted to grow up in. This is not the world I wanted. I wanted a world of more stability. I wanted a world of more stable families. I wanted a world, did I say there were problems back then? No, there were, yeah, there were problems back then. But at least people respected the Christian message, the Bible. Not everybody were believers, of course, but there was a different tone back then. And today, it's how outrageous can you be? How outrageous can you be with your behavior and with what you say to get attention, to get your 15 minutes of fame? How irreverent can you be? I heard a comedian one time many years ago talking about his best buddy that was he's a good comedian. He's so irreverent. And I thought at the time, why do we need irreverence? We don't need that. Now, I know the world changes, and I know we're supposed to be able to cope with change, but I want you to see, the reason I brought all that up is to say this. In America, when things were a little more that way, it was more comfortable. We didn't hear this stuff on television, movies, media that were jarred us like it does now. It was more comfortable. Did that comfort make us as Christians, as believers, as missionaries? We're all missionaries. Did you know that? Well, I'm not a preacher. No, I didn't say that. We're all missionaries. Well, no, I'm not a missionary. Yes, you are. If God picked you, Jesus brought you in, and he died for you, and he was raised for you, he's got a mission for you. Well, we got soft, I think. We got kind of soft because everything was going a little bit smoother than it does now. And I remember when churches sort of fought each other a little bit over doctrine. You don't hear a whole lot of that today because finally churches woke up to the idea, hey, the church down the road is not our enemy. There's a bigger enemy than that. These churches are not, I go with a prayer meeting with pastors from all different denominations. They all say the same thing. We finally realized we better be fighting the devil, not each other. So this idea that the world may have gone haywire, it may wake us up to the fact we better be better missionaries, because we're supposed to be missionaries. We're supposed to be here to win people. We're supposed to be here to change the world. Not we change it, but He changes it through us. We're supposed to be here to make a difference. And I think we got kind of soft on that. There's a difference in just going to church and being a missionary. You see, you could be ministering to each other all week long, and some of you do that. You could be ministering to each other all week long, encouraging each other all week long. You could be doing other things to help reach other people. I know you're busy. We're all busy. I know things come up. Things always come up. But have we gotten soft spiritually? I think we're getting a wake-up call, don't you? Yeah. I've seen things. I stay off social media now because the abortion ruling has set everybody on fire. You know, and it's like now their hair's on fire because all of this happened. And it's like, okay. If you get on there and say anything positive about that ruling, you'll get blowback from all directions. We're not in Christian America anymore, if we ever were. We're not in Christianized America anymore. We're not in Western Christian culture anymore. We are here as missionaries, and we're behind enemy lines. Not that people are our enemy. The Bible says our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Who's it against? Evil powers. Are those evil powers having a field day in America and the world? They are. So our job is to take that on, not against people. So we've realized who the enemy is, and now as we've realized who the enemy is, we start saying, well, maybe I should be doing more. Maybe I should be doing what God wants me to do. If Jesus could walk in here today, he already has, by the way, what would He say to us? I prayed about that a lot. And last week I was praying, and I just thought, read Revelation, first few chapters. Okay, that's not what I plan to preach on. I didn't plan to preach on it, but I felt led to read Revelation, the first few chapters, because I kind of knew what was in there. And when I read about the seven churches, we're going to see what He said to them. Jesus' message to the seven churches in Revelation, and the line I put up there next is, go back to that one. There you go. That next line, there you go. Why is He talking to them like this? Preparing them for persecution. Revelation was written just on the first wave of a horrible persecution. They had already had some of it from Jewish leaders. Now they're getting it from the Roman Empire. And so Jesus has a real serious come to Jesus meeting and says, okay, you're going to have to up your game. You're going to have to fasten your seatbelt. You're going to have to be what you said you wanted to be. You're going to have to be a missionary. You're going to have to be someone willing to die for the faith. That's not a popular message, is it? You're going to have to be someone willing to at least give up your comfort zone. So He's very pointed. He's telling them the truth. And the truth is, you're about to go some serious times. We're already there, aren't we? You're about to undergo some serious times, so here's what you need to know. He says, and if you put up the next slide, whoever has ears to hear, let it hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Then the next comment He makes, to the one who overcomes. So these two comments you'll see, I'm going to read them to you, but so just hold this slide for a minute. Whoever has, this is one statement He makes to all seven churches. All seven churches get this statement. What is the statement? You better be listening to the Spirit. You need to be listening to the Spirit, because the Spirit's got some things to say. Jesus has, of course, told John to write this down, so you got to listen to what the Spirit says. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the... Not what your denomination says. Not what your favorite commentary says. Not what your favorite preacher says. Who are we listening to? The Spirit of God. Because we're about to go into combat. I've seen video of some of the men that were headed into D-Day invasion in those little boats they were headed in. You're watching the video, you could smell the fear. You could see it in their faces. Jesus pulls the church aside here, all seven of these churches, and said, I got a mission for you. I've got a message for you. And the message is, you better be listening. You need to be listening to the Spirit. Time to quit playing church games. It's time to really get serious about being a Christian, not just a hanger-on. It's time to get serious about being a disciple of Jesus. It may cost you something. It probably will. Probably will. I heard a parent say one time about their child wanting a car, and he said, my parents never bought me a car when I was in high school. They always said, if you get it free, you don't respect it very much. Is that true? Sometimes it is. Is it costly to serve Jesus in this modern culture? It is. Everything from getting kicked off Facebook to people throw stuff through the window of your house to people say call you ugly names, to people that fire you from your job, to people that... The political world today is crazy. Why would anybody want to run for office? No matter what side you're on, you get death threats. Some Christians get death threats. Some preachers get them, especially these TV preachers that are seen by a lot of people. They get death threats. Really? Paul said one time, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Are we to that point in America where we won't even listen to each other? Won't even listen to truth? Won't even listen to the Bible, of course. It's amazing. What did Jesus say? He said, the first thing he said and to all seven churches, I'm going to read them to you in a minute. To all seven churches, what did he say? Whoever has ears, listen to the Spirit. Do we need to keep close contact with God through His Spirit in the trials we're facing? Yes. Better be listening to the Spirit. If some of those combat soldiers didn't listen to directions and they got ready to bail out of those airplanes at the D-Day invasion behind enemy lines, if they didn't listen very well, they might pull the wrong switch and they might not hook up right and might be killed on the way down. It takes... The military does a lot of training. What do they say? Listen to us. I had sergeants tell me that, drill sergeants tell me that. You better be listening. A lot of the guys I was in with went to Vietnam. And they were saying, you better pay attention. Because you're going to either get yourself killed, or you might get yourself killed, a bunch of other people killed. Jesus is saying this. To all seven churches. Some of these seven churches didn't have a problem. He has called all seven churches to stand for inspection, and he said to two of them, you're doing a great job. Just keep at it. Don't give up. Don't quit. The others, he said, I got a problem with you. You've got a problem in your midst, he said. Second thing he said to all of them is to the one who overcomes. And then he makes a promise to each one, different promises to each one, to the one who overcomes. Overcomes is a Greek word. I mentioned it during communion. Comes from the word Nike. Or the word Nike in English comes out of that Greek word, which means victory. That's why they put it on their shoes. If you have victory, he said, oh, you're going to be glad you did, because this is in store for you. And he begins to mention things that they're all going to have. Supernatural things they're going to have. So he says it to each. You can put the next slide. He says it to each of the churches. So open your Bible. That's not too much of a strain, is it? Revelation 2. I'm going to just read these to you. Revelation 2, verse 7. So you can write these down as we go. Revelation 2, verse 7. To the church at Ephesus, he says this. 2, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life. A tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. What's that all about? Oh, you overcome this, and you win this big battle, and you win this big victory. You get to eat what Adam and Eve turned down. You get to eat the tree of life, everlasting life in the paradise. You're in paradise with Christ, and you get to eat supernatural food, and you are there forever. Did he make them a promise? That's chapter 2, verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 11. That, by the way, was to the church at Ephesus. 2, verse 11. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. First death's bad enough. What about the second death? He said if you overcome or you have victory over all this persecution, you won't be hurt by the second death. What's the second death? Later on in Revelation, if you go to chapter 21, we don't have to turn there now, but I'm just telling you what the second death is in the book of Revelation. It's being thrown in the lake of fire with the devil and all his angels. Now that's more than the first death. The first death might be a little scary to you, but what happens to the believer on the first death? You go to be with Christ. What happens to the unbeliever on the first death? You're set up for the second one. He says here, don't give in. He said, listen to what the Spirit says, verse 11, Revelation 2:11. Listen to what the Spirit says. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all. Not a second death. You don't have to worry about that. Isn't it great to know you have heaven and you have eternal life and you work hard here and you do what Christ leads you to do and you overcome obstacles and the day you pass from this earth, you get to go and be with Christ and you're not even worried about, is there a second death? You're not even worried about that lake of fire. That's not us. That's not our destiny. That was chapter 2, verse 11. 2, verse 11. At the church at Smyrna. The next one is chapter 2, verse 17. Pergamum, 2:17 of Revelation. He who has an ear, let him hear. Does he say this? He says it to every church. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I'll give some of the hidden manna. Well, how did Israel get manna? It fell from heaven. Remember that story? They were out in the wilderness trying to make it to the promised land. They didn't have enough food, didn't have enough water. God always provided the food and the water. He said, I've got something hidden for you. I've got something hidden for you, and you're going to get it. Hidden manna. You don't do that, do you? You don't have a thing in your refrigerator where you have a stash that nobody else knows about? And you... She does. I do. You know, you pull that drawer out, that's my stash right there. Jesus said, I got a stash for you. It's manna. It's hidden. It's everlasting food. It's everlasting manna. That was, 2:17. I will also give him a white stone with a new name on it. That was a reference to slavery and being set free from slavery. You're set free from slavery, you get a white stone, and you get a new name. Known only to him who receives it. He said, I got some secret benefits for you that nobody else can touch. There's one passage later that says, our lives are hidden with Christ in God. So he tells them, just be sure you overcome. That's chapter 2, verse 17. Chapter 2, verse 26. Chapter 2, verse 26, to him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. What? You mean we get to get authority over the nations in the new world, new heavens and new earth? He said, I'll give him authority over the nations. And he quotes Psalm 2, which is about Jesus, but we get what he gets. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will dash them to pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give him the morning star. Jesus is the morning star, isn't he? He who has ear, this time he reversed the order, didn't he? He who has ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He keeps going. Chapter 3, verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Look at that one again. What does he say? You'll be dressed in white, symbolizing purity. I'll never blot out his name from the book of life. You'll always be there. But will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. Isn't that amazing? You go to the heavenly realms. You overcome, even dying for the faith. You overcome. And Jesus greets you in heaven. And he introduces you to the Father. Father, this is Keith. Oh, I know him well. All you angels, come over here and meet him. He's one of those that endured. Do you want to be introduced to God that way? This is one who endured all kind of things for my name and overcame. He says, listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. When they got this message, some of the people reading that message were going to die for the faith. He said, this is serious business. Oh, you can have your comfort zone, or you can have Jesus introduce you to the Father in heaven by name. And introduce you to all the angels. I will acknowledge him, he says. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, we were in 3 verse 5, right? 3 verse 5. He who overcomes will be like them. Be dressed in white, I'll never blot out his name from the book of life. Will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear. Why is he saying that all the time? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is, did you get it? This is spiritually heard. It's not just preacher talk. Not just trying, he's trying to get us to work harder. You hear it with your spirit. Your spirit sort of leaps and says, I want that. I want that. I want to be that way. I'm tired of this old world pushing me around. I'm tired of this old world telling me what to think, what to believe. I want to be one of those that Jesus can count on. And when I get through with enduring, I get to be with him forever. And oh, do we get to enjoy some things then? That was 3, verse 5, wasn't it? 3:11. I'm coming soon. 3:11. I'm coming soon. Well, he said that 2,000 years ago. He's not talking about the second coming. He's talking about, I'm coming to be with you when this persecution breaks out and when you have these horrible times. I'm coming too, and I'm going to punish the enemies of God, but I'm also going to bless and reward you. 3:11. I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Oh, you don't want to miss that moment where you get introduced to the Father in heaven and you get a beautiful crown. You get honored. You wear the white robes. You get all these perks. You get all these benefits. This is real, folks. It's not a fairy tale. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You got to listen spiritually. Verse 11, I'm coming soon, of chapter 3. Hold on to what you have so no one will take your crown. The one who overcomes, another victory. I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I'll write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down from heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. Look at the identification. You get stamped. You get certified. You get... He's one of us, Jesus says. He's one of us. Come in here. You're a permanent part from then on, a pillar in the temple of God. You're a permanent part of what God is doing from then on. what God's doing throughout eternity. When the world is over here and we get a new heavens and new earth, does God just shut everything down? No. He's got a world beyond time and space for us. He's got a world that lives beyond the speed of light. One day the speed of light won't matter because all this will be destroyed. And that world beyond all of this is the world he says you'll be a permanent part, like a pillar in a temple. Kind of hard to move a pillar in a temple, isn't it? You'll be a pillar in the temple. Never again will he leave it. I write on him the name of my God. Right on. People love to buy designer clothes. They wear somebody's name, right? Oh, that's expensive. That had so-and-so name on it. No, you're going to wear the name of God. We already do spiritually. And the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. Did Abram get a new name when he got Abraham? Did Sarai get a new name when she became Sarah? Did Saul get a new name when he became Paul? Somehow, you get a new identity. You get a new name. Then he says, verse 13, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He's preparing them for persecution. What the Spirit says to the churches. And the last one is 3:21. 3:21. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. Authority. We will rule the angels. Did you know that? Paul wrote that. He said, know you not? He told the church in Corinth, he said, stop suing each other. They couldn't get along. They would sue each other in court. And he said, how dare you take it before unbelievers? Don't you know that we will judge angels? And this is kind of on the same track, isn't it? Just as I overcame and sat down with the Father on his throne, Jesus said, you're going to sit on the throne with us. Well, how can millions of people sit on a throne? It's a place of authority. A place of authority. To him who overcomes, I'll give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, what's he going to say? He who has an ear, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. Church is the Spirit saying something to this church? Always. Always. He's talking to us. Jesus is talking to us. Next slide. He says this to each of the seven churches in Revelation. Let's look at the next slide. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I don't like that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says that. What does it say? Maybe that's why more believers don't desire to live godly lives. I just want to be a part of the crowd. I want to go incognito. I don't want to be noticed. I don't want to say anything out loud. I don't want to post anything about Jesus because my friends don't like it. But what does that say? If you live godly in Christ, in other words, you live a holy life in Christ Jesus, what will happen? What's persecution? The word literally means pressure. Will the world pressure you to conform? Just like a dye, you put something in there, you want it to, like they used to, I don't know if they do that anymore, they used to take these gigantic presses and when they make a hood for a truck, they lay it in there and then stamp it. Our world wants to do that to you and trying to do that every day. Trying to stamp you into their image, some ungodly image. But this says if you live a godly life, they'll notice. They're supposed to. And if you live a godly life, they'll notice and they might not like it. So what? They're not going to like it. You know, the Bible's full of a lot of promises, and this one I don't really like, but is it true? Have you seen it in your life? I have. Have you seen it? That's why a lot of people don't want to talk too much about their spiritual life or their church or don't want to pray in front of anybody or read the Bible in front of anybody at work because it's just too much hassle. They'll give me a hard time. Guess what? They'll do it anyway. Did you know we're busy trying to please a lot of people that don't even like us? We're trying to please a lot of people that don't even like Jesus. They're trying to pressure us. Listen to what the Spirit's saying to the church. Does this mean you had to work harder? No. Smarter. How do you work smarter? You listen every day to what the Spirit is saying. You get your head in the Bible, and you sort of protect yourself, like the safety equipment in your vehicle. You're getting some protection against the onslaught that you're going to get in this world out there, and you go out protected. The Word of God calls it putting on the armor of God. Do you need some armor against what the world's trying to do to you? Of course you do. We all do. Next slide. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, Jesus said, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. Well, that's the bright spot. If you have unbelievers out there and they're pressuring you and you show them Jesus, some of them will say, I like that. I've always thought I would like that. And so you win people. Some will persecute you. Some will accept the words the way they accepted Jesus. You're persecuted by the world because they persecuted him. And if you're associated with him and you're linked to him and you're connected to him, the unbelieving world, the Christ-hating world, doesn't like that. They don't like you. They don't like you. Did I say it? They don't like you. So what are you going to do about it? I guess I ought to try to please the people to try to win more souls. Now, how do you win more souls? You stay the course. And you live for Jesus. And they see in you, not that you're rude or ugly, but they see in you an uncompromising attitude that says, no, I serve the Lord. And they respect that. They may not like it, but they respect it. Next slide. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you might have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. John 16:33. We read that at communion, didn't we? I have overcome the world. So have we. So have we. And so in Revelation he said, just listen to the Spirit. He's got some things to tell you. You listen to the Spirit. And when you overcome, the blessings flow. Can you give, our world has trouble with that. Can you give up temporary gratification for a long-term blessing? A lot of people can't do that. They want it, and they want it now. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm not worried about the future. I don't care about the future. They'll do horrible things to their bodies with drugs and alcohol because they just want it now. I just want it now. Revelation says, no, no, no. Listen to the Spirit. Listen to what the Spirit is saying. Do it the right way. Follow me, Jesus said. Be affiliated with me. Be associated with me and be unashamed. Be that unashamed disciple that says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the Lord. I'm not ashamed for you to know I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed for you to know about my church and about what I do at my church. I'm not ashamed. They're trying to shame us out of our spiritual life. Jesus said it won't work if you just listen to the Spirit. And you have victory, and you overcome. That word overcome means, like the word Nike, it means a great victory. In fact, there's one place in here where it talks about a hyper victory. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. If you look it up, I believe that's the place where he says, he uses the word hyper, huper in Greek. Huper nikeo means a hyper victory. And Jesus said, I have a hyper. Did Jesus have a hyper victory over the devil? Oh, he shut him down, put him out of business, stole the keys to death and Hades, and redeemed all who were supposed to be redeemed, all who come to him. He gave the devil such a beating that he hasn't recovered yet. That's why the Bible says, if you resist the devil, got the Spirit in you, you resist the devil, what happens? He can't get out of the way fast enough. Runs. Did Jesus have a hyper victory? Oh boy, we are partakers of that. Who will separate us? The next slide. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, Romans 8. Tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or sword. Romans 8. Can anybody separate us from the love of Jesus?
No.
The next slide is the one that talks about this hyper nekeo victory. No, it says no, you can't be separated from Christ, not by the world. You can't be separated from His love. You can't be separated from His love. No, all these things, we are more than conquerors. That's hyper nekeo. We participate in that hyper victory. We, not just Jesus, we participate in that victory through Him, through Christ who loved us. Through Him who loved us. What is the Spirit saying to the church? Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't listen to the world. Get your eyes off the news channels and put your head in the Bible. Live for Christ unashamedly, unashamedly, and say, I'm convinced, I'm convicted, I'm convicted that this is going to be overcoming victory. I put a slide up here as we pray for our notebook. This book has names of many people in it that are not yet believers. Not yet believers. If we really want to follow, if we're listening to what the Spirit says and we say, I want to overcome, I want to be that disciple that's unashamed, I want to see more people come to Christ. That's the heartbeat of Jesus, isn't it? Came to seek and save the lost. So if you say, I want to be like Him, I want to think about the people out here who are lost that I know, what's the first thing you can do? You may say, well, I'm not a preacher and I can't teach the Bible. Well, start by praying. The Word of God says you don't have because you don't ask. You mean we have to pray for people to come into the kingdom? Oh, yeah. Why? They're challenged every day. See, they don't have the protection we have. They're kicked around by the devil all the time, and they don't understand what's going on or why it's going on. So what are we doing? We're praying for light to come into their life. We're praying for that door to crack just a little bit open, and God's Spirit can come in and teach them the truth. God's not reluctant to save people, and we're not reluctant to pray for people. They're the only one that's reluctant, and so we're standing in for them. We're saying, well, Father, he won't pray. I got this friend in here, you know, and he won't pray and he won't seek you, so can I just stand in his place for a minute, and I can just take his place for a minute and say, come in, give me some light, give me some mercy, show me some light. So you can do that. It's called intercession. Intercession's all throughout the Bible, isn't it? So we're praying for these people. Father, we do that right now. All of these names, people in here who have not accepted Christ, probably don't know anything about Him. We ask for that light to come in, that revelation to come in. We ask it for those who have fallen away. They don't understand. They gave up treasures to seek nothing. We ask You to wake them up, bring them back in, Father. Help us. Right here in this congregation, all of us in this audience, all of us in this room, we thank You, Lord, that You have spoken to us through Your Word. And I pray, Lord, that You have literally talked to us today. And as You have talked to us today, that our hearts are open. We pray that everyone in here, we have opened our hearts. And as You said, to hear what the Spirit is saying to us and to continue to hear it. And to live the way You call us to live. Father, may this blessing come on us that we really, truly follow Your Word and Your will in this crazy world. In Christ's name, amen.